We don't have to. Anyway, everywhere we have to preach about everything, because we find everything everywhere in this world. Detachment and attachment. Yes, actually, we now with a few more years in Krishna consciousness, we have seen, now we remember the olden days, the years of yore in Krishna consciousness, and so many disasters that have come about in family life, in so many families, devotee families, because of a misunderstanding of this detachment, understood as becoming irresponsible. So everything has to be understood properly in Krishna consciousness, and obviously we had misunderstood so many things. So many things are misunderstood. We have said so many times, our best example for everything is His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And in His own case, we saw the example He gave to the world. It's a very strong example. Because now we see what mission Srila Prabhupada had. The most important mission in this planet, in this age, we can see. Most important mission in our age, in our times. There is no more important mission than Srila Prabhupada. First thing we know, that's for sure, that has been proven. Next thing we know is that now by reading about Prabhupada's life and knowing from his own lips and now with so many proofs that he's a Nitya Siddha, meaning just like this morning, just a little something, but in that class this morning he was explaining how people, they like to eat rotten meat. That some piece of meat, and if it's rotten for some time, it is there for X amount of time, then people like it, it becomes more tasty. So Prabhupada said, this I have learned from my disciples, because I have never taken meat in all my life. So like that, second thing we know is that Prabhupada being Nitya Siddha, he knew about this mission, and we see by his action, he was writing, he was pushing from the very beginning this point. How he wanted to preach. Since he met his spiritual master, how he was awakened at that very moment. The pastime is that he did not want to go and see his spiritual master. And he was dragged by his friend to go and see him. And then at that first occasion, first event, the connection, Prabhupada says, from that very first day, the connection was established. This is something externally manifested, supta and asupta. Anyway, we understand that Prabhupada had this in mind. And still, we see from his example, no one wanted to preach. If you want to go out on Sankirtan, no one wanted more than Srila Prabhupada to do this, to go out and preach. He has proven this with facts. Still, it did not mean, and we may remember with benefit, with profit, the last letter he wrote to his Guru Maharaj, that he got the reply in the same month that his Guru Maharaj departed this planet, that Prabhupada told him, all your others, so just see what was in Prabhupada's mind, he has revealed to us in this letter, that you have so many disciples, they are sannyasis and brahmacharis, they're able to perform so much service for you, to you, what should I do? So he was, you can imagine how he was feeling. So the feeling was there, the understanding was there, but somehow or other, he placed his responsibility towards family life. He gave that example, that he had this responsibility. And although even that family life seemed unfavorable, because now we are speaking that in Krishna consciousness we have the chance that the husband and wife are engaged and it's all favorable, they're both devotees, they both want, but we see a wife and children, they were not favorable. And still, the example is given. So we have everything. We have the example of Raghunath Das Goswami or the Supreme Lord Himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They gave up. So one example is of giving up. We have also our example of not giving up in the case of Srila Prabhupada and going all the way to the end until He fulfilled the last iota of His responsibility. Every single aspect of His responsibility was there. He fulfilled. And we read in the history of Srila Prabhupada how He was worried. And, you know, along with his wife, because of the marriage of a daughter, And all these things were there. So Prabhupada had to undergo all those difficulties, tribulations, for our benefit, to show how a devotee must be responsible, especially in relationship with other devotees, wife, or husband, children. So it is, therefore we have to find what is the clue to all of this. We have to renounce but not renounce. We have to find what is the clue. So Prabhupada has explained that we should be in the midst of all that without the spirit of enjoyment. Well, with the spirit of giving everything to Krishna, actually we have to be careful. We get into married life actually to try to control the spirit of enjoyment because it is very prominent. That's why we get into married life. And then when the response, so we should remember those days. That should we should not forget. This is mentioned by Prabhupada in 6th canto that we should remember all the nonsense things we've done in the past and regret them. So somehow or other, anyway, we should remember that how we go into married life, what is the reason we find ourselves in married life. So therefore we have to undergo the whole process. Married life is another process of liberation if we do it properly. It is one of the items of Varnashram, Daivi Varnashram, to liberate us from our... but it is just like suicide. Just like we are going to die, but it has to be done. You know, we have to die when we die. We cannot commit suicide. So in the same way, we have to finish our business with married life. And we have seen that, you know, devotees, people in general who become disgusted with their present married life and want to become renounced because it is done prematurely, all it means they have to find a new partner sooner or later. So this is very very much criticized. This is very much against the path of liberation. It is in no way a liberating process. So married life means there is a sacrifice. There is a word in English, self-abnegation. And we saw like Prabhupada's sister was a good example of that also, Srila Prabhupada himself. There is some abnegation, there is self-abnegation, there is some tolerance, patience that has to be there. And one just has to remain. There is no question of separating once one is married, except in its proper time, when the realization is there, when by knowledge and by having fulfilled all the... all the proper procedures, responsibilities, fulfill all our responsibilities, then one can renounce. Actually, in our ISKCON movement, now for taking sannyas, you see the GBCs have understood so much all these things, that now for taking sannyas, a married man who wants to take sannyas has to even get a written authorization from the wife. And an analysis is being done whether he has fulfilled the responsibilities, whether the children are taken care and like that. So, you know, this had to be done. It may sound hilarious to a certain extent, but it's just because so much, you know, we don't want to sponsor irresponsibility, irresponsible life. So society, you see, that creation has a purpose and society has a purpose. If we don't organize society properly and we condone this this kind of attitude, that when there is a little trouble or a big trouble, we can go away of our responsibilities. This is very bad. This is very, very bad. Yes. Yeah. So. Yes, so Vyapi Prabhu, if you have not heard, if you did not hear that, sometimes then there is the other side that some people believe they're soulmates. They are soulmates and they have been married for so long and they will continue be married for so long in future lives, especially under the principle that we are told in Shastra that the woman attains the same destination as man. As the man, as the husband. The woman attains the same destination as the husband. So it sounds that, well, they're going to be husband and wife again, wherever they go. And so what about this? Actually, we see from Prabhupada's teachings that this is, not, you know, that there may be temporary... All that is temporary. Temporarily, No matter how many thousands of lives before and thousands of lives after we may be connected to the same person, still all that is in this plane. It is something temporary. And once one attains the original form, that we do not know what it is, they could both be women or they could both be men. So this we understand. There is no such indication from Prabhupada's teachings and our Vaishnava teachings that eternally marriage is eternal in that manner. It should be permanent while we are here, and even here there is the point of sannyas. There is some, you know, separation there, and actually the man is supposed to even become totally detached from that thought. Anyway, like that. So we don't get this learning. We have to remain, if we are always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, and in third canto Prabhupada speaks that we should put wife and children and engage them in the service of the Lord. So if we are always engaged in the service of the Lord, then these forces of attraction to this world will give us up, and will give us up. And within married life, we can remain in a detached state, and if need be, we will take sannyas, at least vanaprastha. Is going to be there. So, therefore, brahmachari, actually it is mentioned in Shastra, in second canto, in second canto by Prabhupada, in chapter 6, and here it becomes with chapter 7, otherwise I could look up that verse. In chapter 6, in second canto, and also in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Srila Sanatana Goswami quotes this same verse, that the spiritual world is for the Agrihanam, those who are not grihastas. So that means the spiritual world, in Bhagavatam it is called apraja, those who are not to be prajas again, who are not to be citizens. The spiritual world is for, and who are those who are not? Those who are brihat brata, those who have made the great vow. They are the ones who can go back home, back to Godhead. So that great vow, Prabhupada explains, is the vow, Brihat Brata, is the vow of celibacy. So the spiritual world is only for celibates. So either brahmachari, vanaprastha, or sannyasi. So vanaprastha is also there. That is also so. One can be one of those three things. But grihastha, he has to come to one of the other points. He has to change that mentality. Grihastha means like that, someone who has who is not celibate in this case. So anyway, so therefore there is no question of this, of promoting this idea of eternal marriage, and that we think, that this marriage is eternal in this world. It may or may not happen. There could be a situation that someone is husband and wife. There are associates of Lord Chaitanya or things like that, particular Leela, but not that all the marriages are like this. There may be or may not, but there's no rule to that. Were you raising your hand at some point? Because other people, you want to say something? Otherwise, other people. No. Yes. Yes. The problem sometimes is that, you see, we try to take advantage of concepts. So also, someone, so we're always jumping from this side to the other side, from one side to the other, that someone may say, well, grihe tako vane tako swam grihasta, so I'm also a devotee, I'm also this, I'm also that, and it means, then this person, what it means is, I'm a grihasta, and it means sense enjoyment. And he thinks that within sense enjoyment, so therefore, you know, that's why you're saying external, internal, and I appreciate that. It is a fact, you know, that is something like that. If someone is internally detached, so he's as good, Prabhupada said, at some point, all of my disciples are sannyasis. All the members of this movement, all of my disciples are as good as sannyasi. He said in the beginning of the movement. But this should not mean to someone who's a grihasta that, well, my duty as a grihasta is that I have, you know, and then people understand so many things that they have to go to the movies, to the restaurants, because this is a duty of a grihasta. Somehow or other, they feel that these are grihasta duties. So, you know, I think that's what we're dealing with here, that you're, you know, he's representing some statements, some state of consciousness that he sees, you're representing another one. And we should understand them very, very clearly. It is definitely like that, and I just said anybody can be a grihasta, actually a grihasta who has that consciousness, then is vanaprastha. And that person is able to enter into the spiritual world, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We cannot say that Bhaktivinoda Thakur cannot enter into the spiritual world because he's grihasta, he's not agrihanam or something like that. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has said that all of a sudden he saw his house, and it was his griha, it's mentioned there, and it was Vaikuntha. So that is there. Someone who has such a Vaikuntha atmosphere at home, there's no doubt of his position. But someone who takes advantage of those statements of Shastra, grihe tako vane tako, that it is the same as long as I'm a devotee, and actually is not behaving, we have to understand what is the behavior of a devotee. What is the behavior of that grihasta? And that is someone sometimes understood as becoming a sannyasi, and not wanting to take care. The children are sick, you know, I'm detached. The wife is sick, is worried, she needs some attention, I'm detached. All these things. So it cannot be one extreme, it cannot be the other, that the husband is, that word, hempek. So, you know, hempek to the wife, and he's completely, you know, only in grihasta consciousness. So we have to balance these things. One last, there were some hands, one last. I think I saw you first. Abhay, I saw you first before. Yes. They would be very happy. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So Prabhupada has said, has given that very nice, wonderful example in Krishna book and elsewhere, that as straws on the water, in the ocean, you see so many straws and leaves and so many things coming together, and by the same waves, they separate. So in that way, we come together and we separate in this world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Sarasrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gauravakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanandi hari hari.